We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back. 5 o'clock hour. Mark Reardon, 97.1 FM Talk. Dana Perino is going to be nice enough to join us here in about 15 minutes on 97.1. I'm looking forward to that conversation. I'm a big golf fan, and we're going to get a Masters preview as well. And for Andrew's sake, we're going to talk about wagering on the Masters. Actually, yes. For everyone's sake, because you can pretty much bet on everything. You know, like what color shoes Brooks Koepka is going to have. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration. I was looking at your tweets, Sue Thomas, and thinking about the weather related to traffic. And we have Dave Murray on just to kind of give us an update this afternoon on what's moving into St. Louis. How are you, Dave? I don't even know if we've ever had a conversation before, have we?
I don't think we have. I was just thinking about that. I don't think our paths on radio ever really crossed. So we put an end to that.
Well, we have put an end to that.
Sue, where have you been?
I can't believe it. I'm so excited to talk to you. How have you been?
I'm all is well. We just got back from seeing our grandson, who is 15 months old now. Him since he was born.
Oh, dang.
We had a great time, and he gave me a cold.
That's
better
that's
than
great.
COVID, right?
absolutely. But you know, the heck with the weather. Let's talk the Masters. The best week of golf.
You know, I didn't know this, but do you play, Dave?
I played almost all my life. I think I started playing when I was about 5 years old.
Well, you're probably better off for that. You know, I'm trying to get my daughter's six, and I want to get into her into a camp next year because, I have a little brother from Big Brothers Big Sisters, same thing. He's 13, 14 now, Cameron, and I'm trying to get him into the game too because I didn't start playing until I was in my 30s, and then I gave it up for about 10 years. And, I mean, I suck. I'm just going to tell you that right now. But everybody that I play with that played when they were like you, 5 years old, they're always a lot better.
You know what? Because the swing muscles are there. My son, who is now in his upper 30s, I basically taught him golf when, believe it or not, when he was two.
Wow.
I was working Good Morning America, and I would get home like at 10 o'clock in the morning and take on daycare. So daycare was going to the practice range all the time. He doesn't play very often, but he's got the muscle memory. And it comes back very quickly to him.
You'll be able to relate with this. My challenge is my muscle memory, for whatever reason, when I started to convince myself that I was getting better because I can get away with these shots, is I'm way outside to in. So, you know, every time I try to fix it, and for people who play golf, they'll get this. I see the video and my right shoulder is just casting. You know, so I'm trying to get rid
there
of it.
There you go.
But it's not easy, Dave. As you know, it's not easy to fix.
I know
fix
it's not
swing.
Easy.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the Masters.
Work gets in the way and kind of screws up your golf game.
Somebody in this room used to have days like this off when the Cardinals were playing, and I guarantee you I was at the golf course, but those were robbed from me, Dave. Steve Waugh ripped them away from me, unfortunately. But that's okay. Well, we can talk about some other stuff too after, but let's get to the forecast because we do have some weather moving in, don't we?
Yeah, there's a cold front coming in, and there is a broken line of thunderstorms approaching the St. Louis area. There's a thunderstorm watch in effect, basically St. Charles County and points west. It does not include downtown St. Louis, metro St. Louis for the most part. And I don't think that's going to be expanded. These storms tend to lose a little power as they get closer and closer to the metro area because the metro area is warmer and much drier than the surrounding farmland, residential type areas. So they will tend to fall apart, and the sun will be going down here in the next couple of hours. That will help. However, there are thunderstorms out there, not everybody will see strong to possibly severe weather. The best chance is going to be off to our northwest for some severe storms. But even there, it's a little bit on the scattered side. But they will bring heavy downpours of rain, not lasting very long, a lot of lightning. And if you really get under a severe system, you're going to see some hail, probably quarter-size hail, and up to about 60-mile-per-hour winds. But again, I want to stress that is not for everybody. What this front does is swing our winds to the northwest. That means some cooler air coming in. We'll go down to about 49 tonight compared to the 60s last night. And then on Thursday, kind of a changeable sky, a mix of clouds and sunshine, a windy day from the northwest, a cooler day, basically in the 50s all afternoon on Thursday. And there will be a couple spotty little light showers late in the day Thursday into Thursday evening, say from 5 o'clock in the afternoon up until about 9 o'clock or so. It's not a lot of rain. And then Friday, we're back up again, 75 degrees, lots of sunshine. Another front comes through Saturday with a couple of showers, 65 Saturday and Sunday sunny and 71. So for the next couple of hours, let's take it up. Everything's gone by midnight, but around St. Louis, yeah, I think by 9 o'clock, any threat of strong thunderstorms will be gone. So just keep an eye on the sky. Be ready to get inside. You'll see them coming.
Dave, I have a question for you. Can I plant
for
stuff?
For you, Sue, yes. Yes is the answer.
Thank you, Dave. Can I plant some seeds yet? Isn't the frost date for us is supposed to be April 15th. Can I go ahead and do that this weekend, or am I, you know, on the edge?
What are you talking about? Lettuce
marijuana
or
is what she told me a short time ago. I didn't know if she wanted that to be public, but it's legal now for some people. So
those have already started inside.
Hey, Tashar Jones is the mayor. You're safe. Don't worry about it.
No, I wanted to put down. No, lettuce is good, but I was going to plant some stuff for the butterflies, and I can't remember the name of the plant, but it's not lettuce, which I think could survive. But just like a normal, you know, wildflower-ish plant.
I have a rule of thumb. You know, the cool season crops are, people have already got those in. Some of it may even be producing at this point. But the summer type flowers, and that's what you're talking about, I always say wait till Mother's Day and then go full tilt.
Okay. Thank you for that, Dave. And here's the other question.
Absolutely.
I've been storing these questions for you. Okay. The next one is, is it too early to put out a hummingbird feeder at this point? Yes, no.
My wife will want to.
I think you're okay.
Yeah, because she just got some.
I think you're okay doing that.
Okay.
You know, I tend to push that a little bit. You know, we could still have some cold weather. So the purpose is you don't want them really hanging around. You want them to come towards it.
Yes.
But they're pretty good. The concern is leaving the feeders up too late in the fall.
Oh, okay.
To make them hang around when they should be moving on.
So we can entice them to come, but not keep them around.
Absolutely.
Okay. Dave, can I drag you into the conversation we started a couple hours ago that I still find fascinating? I don't know if you're aware that one of the biggest crises facing this country is a ketchup shortage. Were you aware of that? That became very
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, well, it's actually serious.
Now I'm
because
concerned.
What happened was with COVID in particular, they took away the shared condiment jars. Now we know from the CDC that was a big dumb thing to do because no one's getting this thing from surfaces. But then you had the packets of ketchup. Well, there aren't enough of them. And there's even a story in the Wall Street Journal today that says the ketchup conundrum strikes at the cornerstone of American diets. And they kind of run through all these things because they got caught off guard. And some of it goes to the type of tomatoes that are sold. So they say ketchup sold in the U.S. is typically made in large domestic factories with tomatoes often grown in the Central Valley of California. Heinz, my preferred ketchup, uses varieties of tomatoes it creates as hybrids of certain types to get the flavor and texture at once. Now, I'm a Heinz guy. I won't go Hunt's or anything else, Dave. And they're going to test me tomorrow because apparently you guys say this was something you did with DGS, and we just figured we're going to repeat as many bits as we can that Dave did.
Yeah, why not? This.
Yeah,
exactly.
Not?
Less show prep for me.
We're tired, you know.
But this story is interesting because it talks about how, like, if you go through a drive-thru, somebody's quoted as saying, nowadays you can only get, like, two packets of ketchup through the drive-thru. And I have noticed this. I don't do a lot of fast food, but they used to grab a whole handful of those things and stick them in the bag. They don't do those anymore because of the shortage.
See, I could see that. I know it. I mean, do you really need 10 packets of ketchup? Anyway?
I do, actually, because I like lots of ketchup on my French fries. So I'm the guy that does that. Heinz's previous innovation includes something called a single serve ketchup container, the dip and squeeze. I've never heard the dip and squeeze, but that's something.
I think I've seen that. I don't know if I've ever used it, but I think I have seen that.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the cups, right? That's the little cups that you can either squeeze them out or you can, like, peel back the wrapper and dip it like a little. They're a little cup-shaped,
but it is
but
exactly.
Squeezable.
That's what it is. Yeah. It looks almost like something that, you know, my daughter would get a kid where they have to peel something back, a snack or something.
Yeah,
like
a Dunkaroo or whatever.
All right. Well, they're going to do a test tomorrow, and I'm pretty convinced that I could pick Heinz over the other contenders.
Well.
But Sue's going to be
well.
We shall see.
You're talking about betting on the Masters. Can we bet on this?
Yeah. Oh, you know what, Dave? That is a really good point. What do you think the odds would be, Andrew? Because, you know, we've had many people who thought they could do this. Many. Okay.
I am very confident that I could pick out Heinz.
I think the odds
others.
Are decent. I think the odds would be decent that he can figure it out.
All right.
Because that one, I feel like, wasn't too hard. I mean,
Dave was wrong. It was only Tony that got it right.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
I am excited to see how this works out.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to get some fries tomorrow, and I have to have fries, I think. We'll warm them up in the microwave. My wife just sends a message that says gross because my wife hates all condiments. She doesn't like mustard. She doesn't like she hates mayonnaise.
I mean, really? I love mayonnaise.
I mean,
I
just
don't like
absolutely
ketchup.
Hates it. She's sending me emojis of the little pukey emoji right now because she doesn't like that. Dave Murray, great to have you on. I appreciate the forecast update this afternoon, and we'll get you back soon now that I'm here on the FM.
All right, yeah, anytime, guys.
Thanks,
anytime.
Dave. I appreciate it, Dave. We'll take a break. We'll do the ketchup challenge tomorrow afternoon. I'd love to have my wife involved in this, and she would throw up a little bit in her mouth. Dana Perino, you know her from Fox. She's coming up next on 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
525, Mark Reardon, 97.1 FM Talk on the show tomorrow. One of the issues that's been kind of, I guess I want to say near and dear to my heart is critical race theory. If you don't know anything about critical race theory, we're going to explain tomorrow. Kyle Salmon with The Federalist will join me in the 4 o'clock hour. It's basically this training that goes on in corporate America and government and at universities and academia that if you're white, basically admits that you're about the worst person on the planet and you have to come to terms with that. And that is not an exaggeration. And you will see, I will offer you specific examples of this tomorrow with Kyle, also St. Louis Aldermanic President Lewis Reed reacting to the mayor's results. That's still coming up tomorrow. And we have a Reardon Roundtable coming up also this week. And I don't know if we have the panel set or not, but that's on Friday. The week is going by very quickly. And I actually thought I was going to take some time off last week, but that trip got canceled. So no days off probably until June. Dana Perino is with me this afternoon. Had her on many times previously on the other station, Fox News co-host of The Five, co-anchor of America's Newsroom, and she has a book out called Everything Will Be Okay, Life Lessons for Young Women. Dana, how are you?
I'm great to be with you. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, this is the first time I feel like I have to say this with all the guests that have been on before on the AM dial. We have you on the FM dial now, and 97.1 is a Fox affiliate. We got Kilmeade on in the morning. So I'm doing afternoon drive. I'm very excited. This is only the second week, and I think it's going pretty well, although I have to learn. I'm a guy who, maybe it's because I'm a control freak, I got to press my own buttons, and I've never run the board in here, so I'm still adjusting to that.
You know what? It's good to be challenged in your career.
I think
you don't
want to
get stagnant.
Well, you know, in all seriousness, it is good to be challenged. I've been doing that for a while, so I'm excited to do something. You've had a few of those challenges over the years, haven't you?
I have a few, yeah. And they come at a time when you're just least expecting it.
Yeah, sometimes that's not too bad. I do want to talk about the book here in just a couple of minutes. Everything will be okay. I have a young woman in my household who's 6 years old, so maybe some lessons for her in the future. But let's talk about some of the news of the day. I was watching even this morning on the border crisis, and there are a few things that are happening right now that are a little confusing. I suppose we would expect it with Joe Biden and the new administration. But on the border crisis, I've had Tom Homan on. I know you guys had him on this morning. Is the treatment that the media is giving this, and we can kind of tick off the issues, Dana, for the way that these issues are being treated compared to just a few months ago, but this is a pretty big deal right now on the border.
Oh, it's a very big deal. And in fact, you know, it isn't just Fox that's covering it. And I think that that shows that, one, you know, I try to survey a lot of different news, and including the networks. And this story, after about 3 weeks of Fox being one of the only entities to cover it, it is now mainstream, and it is within the first 10 minutes of every broadcast. And that's because it is just a very serious crisis. And what you had yesterday is something that just brings it all home, right? So when you're talking about statistics and saying, you know, the United States has 19,000 unaccompanied children in its custody right now. So 19,000, you know that that's a lot. But then when you see a little boy wandering alone in a desert, walking by himself, finally finding a Custom and Border Patrol agent and asking for help and crying and begging and saying that he was abandoned. He was afraid he would be robbed or kidnapped. And he said, can you help me? And our personnel are just so wonderful and caring. And you hear that tape. That's what can really start to focus the mind. And I think it's one of the reasons you see two things. One, the poll numbers for President Biden on almost every issue, aside from immigration, are very good. His immigration numbers are plummeting. Number two, you start to see already the Department of Homeland Security saying, maybe we will actually finish the wall after all. And I'm for, if they want to change their position on that, I think we should all encourage them to do so.
I do, too. I spoke with someone, Peggy Davis, who I had interviewed a few years ago, and she's living in Arizona. They have a ranch down there, and it's a terrible situation with people kind of slipping through part of the wall that had been built, and there's all kinds of crime that's going on. So it's not only the kids. There are bigger issues when it comes to immigration right now.
Oh, there are really big issues, including the fact that when we talked to Raul Ortiz, he's the deputy Border Patrol chief, he said that they estimate about 100,000 immigrants will cross illegally that they will not catch. They call them getaways. And we already know that two of the migrants who have been captured were on the terrorism no-fly list, for example. They're from Yemen. So you have to ask yourself, how many others could there possibly be that have gotten through? And I don't say that to fearmonger. I just say logically, the conclusion would be that within that 100,000 estimate, there has to be more than two.
You would think so. Yeah, that's not too difficult when it comes to the math. And then you have what's going on right now. Well, there's a couple things I want to talk to you about. DeSantis in Florida, that's a very interesting situation. I think the 60 Minutes piece was biased. We had a piece that they did, Bill Whitaker, a couple of weeks ago on St. Louis that sort of followed that pattern as well. But DeSantis is fighting back pretty hard here.
As he should, right? So
yeah.
I remember back in 2004 when CBS 60 Minutes through Dan Rather ran a video showing what they said were documents showing that George W. Bush had faked his National Guard service. They were forgeries. They were faked. And that actually ended up hurting CBS quite a lot. In fact, Dan Rather lost his job for that. What CBS did to Ron DeSantis in Florida was so egregious by editing his answers about vaccine distribution, that the two Democrats in the county, a mayor and I think a county commissioner, but certainly the mayor of Palm Beach County, had to come out and say, this is wrong, that's not what happened, and that CBS distorted their comments or didn't even include their comments. And so now what CBS has done has even further elevated and solidified Ron DeSantis as one of the leading Republicans in the nation. What will be interesting, Mark, is to see if he then tries to broaden out his appeal so that while he's a very popular governor in Florida, can he be a even more popular Republican nationally?
I think he's going to try. Yeah, my guess is he's going to try. And my guess is yes, because I think he's been pretty impressive just sort of fighting back the narrative, and the facts are on his side, which
I was in Jacksonville a couple weeks ago, actually with Brian Kilmeade. We were doing one of these book events, and I took an Uber. And the Uber driver was talking about the governor and politics a little bit, and he said, my governor would make a great president, but I don't want to lose him as my governor.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's some praise.
So then we moved to Georgia, where some of the similar things are happening with, I think the president even doubled down a bit yesterday on some of the misinformation.
And when it comes to Georgia?
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. Last week, when he encouraged the Major League Baseball to make a decision to leave Atlanta, to not have the All-Star game there, and the MLB apparently was listening, and they make this decision. Well, yesterday, when Joe Biden was asked if the Masters should also leave Georgia, he sort of tried to walk it back and say, well, you know, they're going to have to make their own decision. And I think that's because they have realized that the overreach was so bad for them that they needed to back off. An interesting point. It seems like President Biden is having these moments where in some ways he still thinks and speaks like a senator. Because if a senator says Major League Baseball should not stay in Atlanta, it's like, yeah, whatever. But if the president says that, it's different. And yeah. I think they're realizing that. He's not saying it in his personal capacity. When you are president and you're speaking publicly, there is no personal capacity.
Dana Perino is with me. Everything Will Be Okay is the new book. Obviously, you watch her every morning on Fox. How's Jen Psaki doing, in your opinion? You've been in that briefing room, so what's your... I would think you'd have, no matter what the issue was, and maybe you have differences on the policy, but you have to have a little empathy for what she's going through.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And I love the press secretary fraternity. I've never criticized any of them. I love being friends with all of them. I respect the position so much. There are times when I think that, one, I do think that she comes to the job with a lot more experience than many of us had beforehand, because she was a spokesperson at the the State Department under President Obama. And Matt Lee of the AP used to give her the hardest time at the State Department. So she kind of got a lot of experience there. I think here at the White House, one, I'm glad that she's doing a briefing every day. I do think that in some ways their problems for the Biden administration aren't necessarily communications or PR problems. They are policy problems and fact problems. And she can be a force for trying to get them to decisions, like on the border, for example. And so we are friendly, but I would not criticize her.
I have no idea why anyone.
I
have no idea why anyone would want that job. But you know, God bless the people who do. That's right. All right. So I want to talk about the book a little bit. But I saw something over the weekend. I don't know if this is in the book or it was just in your column. But you were talking about the first time you ever appeared on Fox News Sunday, and you were so nervous that you said you would think that you'd never stood in front of a live camera before.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. Public speaking, even though I was experienced in it, right? It's one of those things that we all share as humans, this fear of speaking in front of others. And that fear is a little bit of fear of ridicule, fear of being exposed for not knowing something. But also when it came to like Fox News Sunday, when I was a little kid, my sister and I used to have these arguments with my parents, but it was mostly my sister and I arguing about which church service we were going to go to on Sunday, the early service at 8:30 or the later service at 10. And my sister wanted to go to the late service, but I always wanted to go to the early service because if we did that and Sunday school, we would get home in time to watch the Sunday shows. And I always wanted to be on one. So when you achieve something like that in your adulthood that you wanted so badly as a kid, it's a big deal.
No, I get it. And the reason I brought it up is because I can relate more than you would ever think. And I've actually just started opening up a little bit in the past, maybe even the past few months, about my anxiety, because I have terrible anxiety at times, and some of it is in those situations where, you know, you're in a new situation, maybe something you're not used to. And I think a lot of us always thought that, man, no one ever goes through similar circumstances, but they do. So you said you had so much adrenaline working that I sweated through my dress, even though it was so cold in the studio, that the stage manager was wearing a turtleneck and a fleece.
Oh, yes, when I filled in for Chris Wallace, yes. I still have that dress, by the way. It has been dry cleaned, but... I do remember that. The hairstylist came in halfway through just to make sure my hair was in place, and she felt my head, and when she left, she went into the control room and said, guys, she is burning up. I said, it's not possible. It's freezing in there. And I was like, nope, she's burning up. I felt the same way. I actually had a chance to do one of the charity shows for Jeopardy.
Oh, nice.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I was so nervous, and I was standing next to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, believe it or not, and I was on a box and in 5-inch heels, and he still, of course, towered over me. And I felt like such an imposter, thinking, like, why am I even here? Like, I don't know anything about anything, but it was for charity, so I did it.
Well, I love the story. I think it's relatable. I think a lot of people go through those things, even people who are on television and the radio all the time. Tell me quickly, I may have run out of a little bit of time, but tell me about the book, Everything Will Be Okay, Life Lessons for Young Women. I have a very young woman in my household, as I mentioned, at 6 years old, but some great lessons in here.
Well, I love all the girl dads out there, and my friends are all girl dads, and they're just working so hard to make sure that the young women in their life are given every opportunity. And my point is this: they want you to give them a plan. There is no plan for your life, but you can take all of the things, like being born in America, being educated, being loved by your family, and then you just have to channel that energy, that nervous energy, that anxiety, that fear, into something that can actually provide for you. Because in my opinion, young women today, they are in the driver's seat and they just have to channel that energy.
And I think you're right about that. My wife would completely agree because she's very successful as well. Dana Perino, always great to have you on. I know that one of the conversations we had way, way long time ago is you mentioned that you had a little fondness for St. Louis because when you were in Springfield, you used to visit, right?
Yes, and I used to come. Oh, what's the park? Forest Park.
Forest Park. That's right.
Yes, and I used to rollerblade there. It was so fun.
I wish we still had video of that. That would be fun, too. Dana, awesome to have you on. I knew you were up early. Go get a nap in. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Mark, and congrats.
I really do wish we had video of Dana Perino in Forest Park with rollerblades. Remember when rollerblading used to be a thing? I used to rollerblade, believe it or not. My wife makes fun of me, but I did. And I had the elbow pads and the knee pads and all that stuff. It was really sexy, let me tell you. I was doing it for fitness, ladies and gentlemen.
Fitness.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to talk about the Masters coming up here. Dan Reardon, my golf correspondent, no relation, but he covers professional golf events and has for decades. We'll get into some of the wagering on the Masters, too, coming up, 97.1 FM Talk. Hey, the Cardinals are winning this afternoon. Of course, tomorrow is the home opener. It's the first home opener in a decade and a half that I'll have to work, and I'm going to whine about that for the next 24 hours. But
I would too. I would too.
But there is, if you go to hashtag My Home Opener, you're going to find all kinds of fun stuff from our sister station and the home of the Cardinals, KMOX, and the folks at Jim Beam sent over these classic highballs. Have you guys seen these things? These are in these cans, not unlike the seltzer.
Oh, yeah. I saw those floating around the building today.
Yeah, it says, low in calories, large in refreshment. The highball has been around for a long time, but never like this. Made with Jim Beam bourbon, premium seltzer, and a hint of citrus. So that's going to be hot.
My friend
right
Dave
now.
Klein was carrying around quite a pallet of those.
He probably stole some of mine. As you know, I do not drink alcohol, but those are from my my son who just turned 21. We'll say it's for him because I don't think Becky will drink the bourbon. All right, Dan Reardon is with me. We're going to talk about the Masters. He is our golf expert. He's been on KMOX for 125 years, something like that. Dan, how long have you been doing golf over there?
I think it's 36 years.
It's been a long time. I was just telling Andrew about you because you obviously do the golf coverage somewhat part-time, but you're a golf coach and a teacher, and you've just been one of those guys that's been all these tournaments over the years covering professional golf. And last year was very different, Dan, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. In fact, I'm excited because I just got my press credential. I was invited to be on site for the PGA Championship at Kiawah, so I haven't been to a major on site since Pebble Beach in the U.S. Open. So, it's been a while.
It's, by the way, it sounds like your phone is in your pocket right now, and you're talking into your pocket. Is there any way to get the? Cause I don't. I'm just. It's distracting.
Are we any better now?
No.
Sounds like wind. I think.
Yeah, it does say. Are you outside?
I am outside. I'm behind the ninth green at Forest Park.
Talk like that. That sounds a lot better right there. Like talking like it's your golf voice. You're doing your golf voice right now.
Right. All right.
I'll try to whisper.
So Brooks Koepka, I think, are his odds at 25-1 to win the Masters? You're never going to get odds like that on Brooksy because he's a little hobbled, right?
Just had surgery a couple of weeks ago on the knee. He's really pushing himself to play in this event. If you remember, before Koepka broke as the big star that he has become in the game of golf, he sat out because he had a hand problem and he missed the Masters, and he used that as a big motivation when he went forward and won the U.S. Open. So he's familiar with this circumstance around the time of Augusta. Like I said, I think he's just forcing the issue, but this is a knee problem. This is something that he's been dealing with for a while.
How differently, you know, obviously the Masters was not last spring. It was in the fall, so it's a bit back-to-back here. How differently is this course going to play?
This is the real Master, Mark. The November events, they got it in. They did what they were supposed to do, but the course didn't play anywhere near the kind of conditions that they are typically doing for the Masters. And I have a good friend in Augusta who I talked to earlier in the week. They had an early spring. They had temperatures in the 80s in late February and into March. So right now the golf course is really firm and really fast. And what that means is the club can set the course up any way they want. They couldn't do that in November. They were subject to the weather conditions and the growing conditions that they had going into that championship. None of that applies to this year's championship. So you're going to see, at least on Thursday, there could be some rain on Friday, but at least on Thursday, you're going to see a very firm and a very fast Augusta National.
Dan, I'm looking at a chart right now of the weekly official world golf rankings for Jordan Spieth 2014 to 2021. It's like looking at the stock market when it went down from COVID last year, and then it bounced back up. Because, look, the guy was 20th in 2014. Then he's up to number one, maybe goes down to the top 10. But this drops precipitously in 2019 to where he gets to number 92 last year. But now he seemingly is having a bit of a comeback. He's up to number 38.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, I always root for Jordan. He's such a good guy. He's so good in the media room. Anybody in the media gets a complete answer. There was a great line somebody wrote about Jordan Spieth, that when he comes in to answer questions in the media room, he answers questions like he's trying to get an A from a teacher in answering a question. And I would feel better about him this week if he hadn't won last week, oddly enough, because the last guy to win the week before the Masters was Phil Mickelson in 2006 when he played in Atlanta. It's really hard to go back-to-back. The other thing about that is, though, there is no event that Jordan Spieth picks up inspiration and form from more than Augusta. Even when he has struggled over this course of 4 years before he broke the winless streak, he actually played well at Augusta because it always fits his mentality. So it's a mixed blessing, I think. Tough to repeat after a week before, but a place where he really, really seems to find form.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to put any money on him. I think that he is playing better, but I agree with you that the back-to-back, but we're looking for some opportunities with wagering because my new friend Andrew here is discovering sports betting. And one sleeper, although I don't know if he can do it again, but Sergio plays that golf course really well. And he's 45-1.
He does, but and Sergio is a little bit like Jordan. He went through a long winless streak and just broke it within the last 6 months. So in that sense, he's a very positive player going into the championship. I was playing with some of the probabilities in terms of what the Masters champions in recent times have been. I think 6 of the last 13 champions have been international players. I think 5 of the last 8 have been winning their first major happened to be the Masters. So you got variables out there. You know, if you play all those numbers, the guy that fits the profile the best is John Rahm, because he hasn't won a major. He is an international player, and he's a guy that everybody has pretty much due to win at some point at this age for him. The other one that's not getting a lot of conversation for whatever reason is Justin Thomas, who, you know, had a really strong rebound performance in the last month or so. But all the attention seems to be going to Spieth and to Dustin Johnson. And I think that Dustin trying to go back-to-back a few months apart is a really hard fit. We've already talked about Jordan.
Well, I got a couple of picks here for some long shots. If you're looking for Andrew, you better listen to this. 35-1 Cameron Smith. He played pretty well. Look, you got 35-1 on a guy who has 2 career top 5 finishes and 4 Masters appearances, and he shot several rounds in the 60s. So that's pretty good. Matthew Fitzpatrick, I think, is even higher than that on the odds. Who's your sleeper pick? You got one at long odds, Dan Reardon?
I really don't. You know, somebody asked me that this morning, and I said I just don't have any strong feeling about anybody coming out of the field. I don't see us having a Danny Willett or a Charles Schwartzel kind of finish where this is a player that, you know, is a good player but was never expected to win. And, you know, it's not a sleeper, but I feel better about Bryson DeChambeau this week than I did in November when all the hype said that he was going to turn the golf course into a par 68. I like the things that Bryson has done recently in terms of saying, I'm not just a long driver. And then I went through his interview today yesterday, and what Bryson had to say is he learned from November that this is an iron golf course. This is not a driver golf course. So he sort of figured out what you need to do there. I wouldn't be so quick to dismiss him, but I don't know what the odds on him might be.
I'd have to check that. You know, the most underrated aspect, I think, of Bryson DeChambeau's game is the putting. I mean, his putting has been rock solid.
Absolutely. But, you know, Mark, we've done this a few times now, and I will tell you, there's two rules that you have to follow in order to win at Augusta. The first one is you have to put the ball on the short grass, because even though that rough looks like nothing, it takes the ability to spin the ball away from players. And the reason that's important is nobody wins the Masters if their approach shots are above the hole. You cannot play this golf course from above the hole. So when you talk about players, keep in mind those guys that have distance control with their irons are the ones who are the most effective. I go back to when Rory had the great chance to win this as a very young player, and he goes out and shoots 80 on the last day. And the reason he shot 80 on the last day was not so much tee to green. He just didn't have the yardages into the greens. That's why it was so amazing when Dustin won last year, because Dustin is sort of famous for not having the wedge game and the distance control that other players might have.
Dan Reardon, appreciate the update. We'll see what happens. We'll get some updates in the next couple of days. I can't wait to watch this Masters. It is a springtime tradition for me. It often happens around my birthday, which is next week, too. And you know what, Dan? You know what fell apart? I was going to play Payne's Valley in Ozark National in Buffalo Ridge next week, and the whole trip just fell apart. But I think I'm going to get to go in June, and I'm so bummed out. Unfortunately.
And by the way, Mark, there are galleries for this championship. There will be somewhere around 8,000 to 10,000 people in attendance at the Masters.
Good. I mean, I think that's great. And you can even notice the difference watching these tournaments this year. Even if it's a minimal amount of fans, you can kind of feel the difference in the energy. And I would have to think that the players have to feel that as well. Even though it's not huge crowds, it's enough to make a difference. Dan, let's get some updates in the next couple of days. Get behind that tree again, because it sounds like something's attacking you. That's Dan Reardon, no relation. Back tomorrow afternoon, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.